on such a long drive too.
It was fine. Yeah.
I think
it was like skiing. We went skiing a couple weeks ago and I was like, I haven't been in a long time. I'm scared that it's not going to be like riding a bike. I was like, I'm a beginner. I don't know what I'm doing. Your cousin was like, you look like you've been on those skis all your life. I'm like, yeah, it just came right back to me. It was like, oh yeah, it just comes right back to you.
By the way, I only fell once too, but I stayed on.
You did great.
I stayed on the bunny slopes all day.
Slow. I was like racing down after Wes on the blue.
Oh my God, Wes.
Oh my gosh, give me a heart attack.
95 million miles an hour.
And I'm like, so come back. Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Authors of Where Should We Camp Next? A 50-state guide to amazing campgrounds and other unique outdoor accommodations.
Almost 12 years ago, we bought a pop-up camper that changed our lives and introduced us to the joys of RV travel.
Join us now as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We will also keep you dialed in to the latest RV innovations from people in the know.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 2 of the 2022 season of the RV Atlas. We are back. We are back. We are back after a little winter break where we were supposed to maybe write our whole book, but we wrote a good chunk of it.
A chunk.
So a couple updates before we dive into this episode. And this episode is a follow-up on episode 1, which was all about Stephanie's new Airstream base camp. This episode is going to be about her 8-day road trip in that base camp down to Florida. But a couple quick RV Atlas updates. So as many of you know, last summer I did a really fun Go RVing show on YouTube with Sean the Camera Guy called 6 Things I Love About My RV. So you can go back and watch that on Go RVing's YouTube channel. But I'm excited to announce that this summer I'll be doing another show for Go RVing on their YouTube channel, on their IGTV on Instagram. And I don't think I should tell everybody what the name of the show is yet.
Stay tuned.
But it's a different show than 6 Things I Love About My RV. And I'm super excited about it. And I'm going to get to actually travel to 8 different destinations for this show. And I'm pretty pumped that I get to do that. And I get to take the new RV out and go have some fun. So subscribe to Go RVing's YouTube channel. Also, please subscribe to the RV Atlas YouTube channel.
What? The RV Atlas Yyoutube channel.
We have had, I think we have 8 videos on
it. Oh my gosh.
We haven't, we are not YouTubers.
We're not YouTube people. And poor Sean is like, guys, please do YouTube videos.
Well, a few years ago, Stephanie was like, well, let's do YouTube finally. Because we never wanted to be a YouTube family and document our RV trips with our kids. That's just not us.
I don't film. I don't like filming while we're traveling because believe me, it changes.
It's work.
It's work and it changes. You do things differently if you know you're being filmed. And we've been in that situation. We've done very limited filming for different clients or whatever. And every time it's like, well, that felt like a fake vacation.
Well, we did a TV commercial for Go RVing in Acadia and it was work.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
Like, that was not
work.
A real hike.
Well, then I've said this before in the podcast. That's why I love writing and podcasting because you get to go have your trip and then come back and do those
but
things.
We thought, oh, we'll do a YouTube show that's like, you know what everybody does, like a podcast, but on YouTube. So, but then.
And not have the kids involved.
Yeah.
But we did 8 episodes and we got like 4,000 new subscribers. And then then the pandemic happened.
Yeah, it wasn't.
That can be an excuse for everything. But what I want to announce is that Sean, the camera guy, and I have been filming fresh RV Atlas YouTube shows. We've been doing a lot of gear reviews in my garage.
You're trying to give yourself an excuse for all that nonsense you have going on out there.
I got a lot of gear. There's a lot of camping gear in this garage, man.
I'll have a show.
It's a show about my junk.
It's a show. It's a junking show.
No, but it's a show about
and I go junking in my garage every week.
Well, we are really hoping to do episodes at the campground to do some travel tips and not just do gear reviews. But we filmed 3 new episodes.
Sean said as soon as
I think they're good. Sean says as soon as we get to 4 episodes, he's going to start releasing 1 a week. And Sean and I both have the intention of a weekly episode on the RV Atlas YouTube channel. And we will find a way to rope Stephanie into this.
I'll subscribe, but
it's our channel.
Oh, yeah. I'm probably already subscribed.
You created it.
I did many, many years ago.
Okay. So we're going to talk about your crazy 8-day RV trip to Florida which was a work trip, but you had just bought the base camp. And so you were like, I'm taking my base camp. All right. So you're just going to tell us like what that experience was like, talk a little bit about the places you stayed. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Campspot. Let's face it, summers weren't meant to be experienced sitting at a desk or staring at a computer screen. It's time to call time out. Campspot is here to help. Campspot is an instant booking platform for camping across North America featuring over 140,000 campsites. Research and book the best campgrounds, RV parks, cabins, glamping destinations, and more to find your time out. Whether it's your next epic adventure, girls' night out, or family reunion, Campspot lets you filter your search results by the type of getaway you want. Browse by location, price point, site type, amenities, and more. Campspot also offers premium inventory, real-time availability, and no membership fees so that you can find the best sites at the best campgrounds for the best prices. Picture it now. Fresh air in your lungs, cool breeze in your hair, warm hugs in your soul, and that grounded sense of self you'll only find when you spend time out. Book your spring and summer camping trips now. Find your time out. Find your Campspot at campspot.com. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Stephanie, we have been telling people for years, when you get a new RV, whether you're a new RV owner or not, when you get a new RV, do a close to home shakedown trip.
Yes.
Girl, you didn't do that.
I know. I don't practice what I preach. I do a lot of the time practice what I preach, but I didn't in this case. In this case, I got a new RV that was winterized, came home, worked. I had a crazy 2 weeks worth of work where I used it as an office a lot those 2 weeks. Did a really quick modification on it using my carpenter.
Shout out to Rich the carpenter.
In-house carpenter who happens to be in my basement all the time. And I like outfitted that thing. In 3 seconds.
You did it so quickly. And look, I got to say, a lot of boxes were showing up on the doorstep from UPS. No. Oh, yes, there were.
It was bad. Yeah, no, I was ferociously like ordering things from Amazon at a clip that I have never done before. Because it wasn't just a camping trip. It was also a work trip where we were filming 14 videos, okay, over the course of 3 days.
How many of those were you in?
9.
You were in 9 of the 14?
Yeah. 9.
Wow.
So it was a lot. And I was like, so I had to do things like did you see the mirror that I have hooked over the bathroom door?
I did.
It's great. But like normally I would not care to have a full length mirror in my base camp. But like when you're going to be on film, you need to have a full length mirror. So
you were like a Hollywood starlet on set
in my little trailer with my straight iron and my makeup mirror. Like I have a makeup mirror. Like I would never, anybody that knows me in real life knows that if I have makeup on, it means that I am going to be on camera. The only time I put makeup on, I'm going on the Weather Channel.
Like, you look beautiful without it.
Thanks, but it doesn't happen on a regular basis. So it was a funny little base camp with all these weird things in it.
Okay, we're getting ahead of ourselves, though. Like, okay, you drove solo to Florida. You towed to Florida.
We had 8 rental RVs all lined up for this shoot that we were doing and that had been planned months ago. And we had some limitations because we were just using rental RVs. And at the last minute, I happened to buy a base camp and everybody was so excited because I was like, I'll bring it. And all of a sudden, everything opened up wide for us because not only would we have the base camp for certain things that you can kind of fiddle with and do, right, like in a way that you're not going to do with a rental, we can move it around, do towing footage, but I was also going to have the truck.
So it was in content you were filming for Road Pass.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, we used it a lot and we used the truck, right, which we wouldn't have had if I had flown down. So it was like kind of a little bit of a last minute pivot that I was like, you know what, I'm going to do it. And everybody was super excited because it made everything easier for us that we were going to have our own RV and truck on set.
And you have an awesome team you work with. And so, I mean,
I can't
on vacation.
Enough good things about my team. I work with an amazing group of human beings at Road Pass. So I'm the VP of content for Road Pass, which includes Road Trippers, Togo RV, Camp Hendium, and Our Village. And my team, we manage all the content across all those platforms, in-app, online, everything. So it's a really dynamic, creative, amazing, hardworking group. of.
And so it became like a thing, like, oh, Stephanie's bringing a new base camp. It kind of made the whole thing more fun.
Everybody was really excited.
But let's talk about like you towing alone, solo to Florida. And I, you know, like, it was never even a question, like, that you were, you know, totally capable of doing it.
Yeah.
Like, my only thing was, like, just take your time.
Right.
Don't drive tired. Like, that was the only thing I cared about. So tell us about actually towing the Airstream down to Florida. How did you do it? Where did you stay?
So it's about 1,000 miles, almost even. I think it's like 960 or something from here to where I was going. And I was it was not at all like I knew that I had always loved. I had been easily fine with towing our pop-up camper. We always used to split that up. And then, of course, I had Penny. And I was like, you know, so like
Stephanie, you towed our 33-foot Whitehall.
I know I did. It was only once we I did. I was OK with it. I didn't love it, but I was fine with that. It was only once we got the toy hauler that I was like, this gives me a heart attack to tow. It really did.
Gave me a heart attack to tow.
I felt like I was going to have a stroke every time.
It was the width. Like we said in the last episode, it wasn't the 34 feet. It was the width.
Yeah. So I kind of like took a backseat at that point. But so I wasn't like nervous about towing, even though it's funny because you're like, it's been a while. I was more nervous about like getting, I don't know, the length. And so I was like, okay,
it's a
long haul. So I was like, well, let me take my time and let me make sure that I don't push myself, which I'm a big like. Push through in the
it
car.
It has been.
I will drive 11 hours straight.
I'm sorry, you drive me crazy with that.
I know.
Over
I
the
do.
Years, you I'm have been like, we're going through. To Charleston. We are not spending the night at AmeriCamps. We are driving straight through.
Yeah.
And it's like, it took us 16 hours to get to Charleston that one time. Like,
but you digress.
No, because I don't digress because I'm the guy that says stop and spend the night.
But I did. And I did. So I was like, I'm going to be super careful and I'm going to plan in advance so I don't get like, you know, freaked out or whatever. So I actually planned 2 stops on the way down before I even left. I had reservations, right? And they were only for about 325, 350 miles apart. So really, I ended up towing 6 hours a day.
Which is reasonable.
Which is reasonable. And honestly, sometimes I kind of felt like, are you serious? You're only going to, you're sitting here and you're going to stop after 6 hours.
But you're also getting used to a new RV.
Right. But it was also just the comfort of knowing I was pulling in someplace before it got dark, that I could walk Maggie around, have dinner. Like, it really was the best thing to do.
And I'll just say, I do really like the fact that you took Maggie because Maggie's a great – she's a security dog.
Oh, 100%. I always – I mean, she's great that way.
So you stopped at AmeriCamps.
Yeah.
Now, AmeriCamps has been
– it's north of Richmond for anybody that –
And that's been the traditional RV Atlas stop for points further south. We really like stopping there because it has long pull-throughs. So how was your night at AmeriCamps?
It was – it's always nice there. We've been there a few – you know, so many times over the years. And they're so friendly there. They really are incredibly friendly. And – it's not like wacky bells and whistles, but it's also a very comfortable place. And I love the fact that you can get a pull through where you don't have to unhitch. That was I had 2 major requirements. I did not want to be driving far off 95 for some beautiful campground. That wasn't the point. I was like, no, it's not worth it. And then also I didn't want to unhitch and rehitch. Overnight. That's stupid.
And for the newbies, that's one of our old tips.
Yeah. Get a pull through.
If you're staying
you stay
one night somewhere,
up.
Get a pull through. Make sure it's long enough that you do not have to unhitch and turn your truck or, you know, SUV
so
sideways.
So when I would pull through, I would put down the tongue jack. I would put down the stabilizer jacks and I would plug in the electric and the hose. And
so
then
you did not unhitch. But you said that your site, you barely fit. Though.
They put me both times. They put me at the end cap site.
That's you were
like
honest.
A wedge.
You were honest
because I was.
About
I said
long.
I had a 16 foot. And let me tell you something. I fit from end to end. But I fit. I did fit.
They saved the, that brings up this whole ethical question about whether like you should tell the truth about how long your RV is. Because if you do, they will put you in the smallest site possible.
So I was like, whatever, though. They were friendly and nice. And it was last minute. And it's to me, it's affordable. $60 to be able to stay not unhitch. Also have a very safe, like comfortable location that feels very secure. And it's easy on and off.
Did you have any trouble getting the reservation? Was it?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm just curious.
Yeah.
I
know everybody's saying.
You can't get off sites anywhere.
So let me tell you something. I looked up and down at KOAs KOAs have a lot of journeys along 95, right? And they're right off the highway. And they have those long pull throughs, full hookup. So I was sitting there in the KOA app hitting on, you know, like they show the little pins along a route. And I was hitting it just because I was curious. Like I'm saying, are these places, they're not sold out. They may only have had one or two available of like a full pull through, full hookup, but they were not sold out.
I think that the whole thing's a bit overblown. I think the most popular places at the most popular times are impossible to get.
Yes.
Now, America Camps didn't jack up their price either. Nope. 60 is about 61, what it was a few years
that
ago.
That was with tax.
Everyone's also saying everything's $100 a night. No. And plenty of places have jacked up their prices.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I felt like it was fair. Every night I felt like I was staying this really comfortable, safe location for way less than I would have spent at like a shady Motel 6 or something on the side of the road. And I'll be honest, I feel more secure in some of these KOAs than I would at a motel.
And Stephanie has booked our family into very shady Motel 6s and Super 8s.
I have my moments where I get, Pennywise, pound
the
foolish.
Super 8. You Super booked us in your Indiana Dunes.
Oh my gosh, that was
National
so
Park.
Sketch. It was sketch.
Okay, let's move on. So you had a good night at AmeriCamps, reasonable price, a great place, and then you drove.
Oh, and then I went down the next night to the Point South. Yamasi?
Why are you looking at me like I know?
I don't know how you say it. But anyway, everybody just says Point South. So that's what we're going to say. Okay. KOA holiday. And that is in South Carolina. And I am telling you, I've heard over the years how much people love this place as a stopover. It was charming, adorable. It was the perfect little stopover campground. I'm telling you,
Did you see enough to give it a full review on the podcast?
Oh my gosh. I got in at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And they have a wine bar. They have beers on tap. They have a coffee bar. They have pizza and wings that you can order. They deliver it right to your site. They have beautiful – I mean, they have a whole area of like all the Jenga and the games, like the full-size games for kids, cornhole, big deck patio sites. They have this little cafe kind of area. Like, it's just so flippin' charming. And it was really like, oh my gosh, what a nice relaxing. And I sat outside. Maggie and I walked a lot. It was adorable.
Do you remember what you paid? Just because I'm really curious about prices.
I think it was like low 80s. So again, cheaper than I would have paid for a hotel room. That's how I was framing it.
But more than we would have paid 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, but this is a holiday. This is a KOA holiday. It did have the pool.
Okay. I think that one KOA campground of the year 4 or 5 years ago.
It's adorable. Like, it has such a cute charm. Everybody was so friendly and helpful, and they were welcoming. Like, it was like, here, sit down, take a load off. You know, like, it was that kind of a feeling. Oh, do you want firewood? Do you want ice? Like, it was like, how can we help you unwind?
So a top-notch KOA.
It really was cute. Like, I wouldn't want to go there necessarily for my vacation.
It's a popular spot for people going to Florida.
It feels like a good stopover. Yeah.
Was it really close to 95 or was it a bit of a drive?
No, right off of 95. Yeah, it was great. So it lived up to the hype. People say they love to stop there. I thought it was adorable.
Now, the next day you got back on the road.
Yeah.
So I was glad when you told me you were making two stops. All of a sudden I was like totally stress free about you doing this.
Yeah.
So the next day you drove straight to Florida and you went where?
We were at the Spirit of the Suwannee, which some of you may know. Casita Dean reviewed it on our podcast years ago. So the thing about the Spirit of the Suwannee is a very unique place. It is really made for rallies and music festivals. And we were there for a particular reason because there was going to be an event that was canceled. So we had already paired this video shoot with the event. The event was canceled. We decided to do the video shoot anyway. So meanwhile, we're like the only people in this like enormously, like it's like 800 acres. It is huge. And it's just when, you know, a festival isn't happening, it just feels weird.
Was it like spooky?
It was just, yeah, like we use the word sketch a lot. Like, it was just weird.
Where if there was a couple thousand people there, you wouldn't.
No, because it would have felt like you were at Woodstock. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just had that feel to it, like that music festival feel to it. So
you said it ended up being a good place for you to do
it. It was perfect because
content.
we could do everything we needed and we didn't have to worry about noise or this or that. However, we were near the Bat House. And the Bat House is the smelliest thing any of us have ever smelled in our life. So just so all y'all know, bats reek. And the whole time we were like, oh my gosh.
Poop reeks or just bats?
I don't know.
We've been in caves with bats. I never noticed.
The smell was so bad.
Well, apparently bats cause all kind of trouble.
Well, there's footage. I can't wait to get it from our camera guy. I got dive bombed by a bat in one of my.
You didn't tell us.
Oh, yeah. It was bonkers.
Was Maggie on edge?
No, like the only time she was on edge was in the evening when they came out. When they started, and like people would come up to like take pictures. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we're all like scared. Like, because they would start to like create a ruckus in the bat house. It was a little creepy.
I saw a picture of the thing. It was right by your sights.
It was right there. Ugh. So okay. That was not the best part, but
we are going to come back in a second.
Oh, also I have bites all over my body. Like I should get hazard. I noticed. Last night in the middle of the night, you're like, why did you jump up? I was like, I had to get calamine lotion.
In the middle of the night, you woke me up. I thought you were running out to check on your base camp.
No, of course you did. No, I have bites all over. We all do.
All right. We're going to come back in a second. And Stephanie's just going to give us some lessons and thoughts from the road. Just, you know, some things related to her doing this big solo trip to Florida. But before she does that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. Whether you enjoy the comfort of a luxury cabin, a deluxe RV site, or prefer to try some unique options like yurts, treehouses, or covered wagons, award-winning Jellystone Parks has a variety of first-rate accommodations, attractions, and activities to provide the setting for an affordable and fun family vacation. Our family has been making great camping memories at Jellystone Park for years, and we can't wait to get back and see Yogi Bear and friends this spring and summer. Jellystone Park locations have everything you and your family will need to make long-lasting camping memories. From amazing water zones, including pools, splash grounds, and splash pads, to mini golf, wagon rides, and jumping pillows, Jellystone Park is the best place for family entertainment this year. You will also find many themed weekend events, including appearances from Yogi Bear and friends. You will notice that family fun at our exciting camp resorts is the main attraction. With over 75 locations across the United States and Canada, make Jellystone Park part of your vacation this spring and summer. Remember, it's not just a campground, it's Jellystone Park. To find out more and book your spring and summer getaways, head on over to jellystonepark.com. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Stephanie, can you give us some lessons, life on the road? I mean, like,
lessons or thoughts. I have some thoughts. Some things thoughts. I was thinking while I was driving.
You had a lot of thinking time.
Thinking time. I don't get that a lot, so...
We called you here and there, but you had a lot of thinking time on the road. So, and look, we sold our last RV in October, so we have had a couple of quiet months without RVing.
Weird.
So now we're both like really diving back into both like family vacations, spring break, you doing work stuff, me doing work stuff. So there's going to be a lot of RV action over the next few months. So what are you thinking?
Well, the first thing is that overtowing is truly a blessing. So one of the first conversations we started having as soon as you got the base camp was, of course, like, oh, wouldn't it be fun to have one of those cool vehicles? You know, like I could tow this with a 4Runner or a this or a that, right? This is a 3500 GVWR. I obviously do not need an F-250.
The truck is longer than the trailer.
Yeah. And then, so that's true. And I was thinking, oh, it would be so much fun to have one of those like more, you know, stylish vehicles. You know what I'm saying. But like I'm telling you, the whole time I was towing, I was like, you know what? And you're on the road with all these other jerks. You know the people that are under towing. And I'm not a tow police kind of person. But you're on the road and you're like, look at you.
Well,
are you ridiculous?
You're like, you're putting me in danger.
Yeah, because you see it start to sweat or whatever.
And
you're like,
sag.
Oh. So I was on the road with, all down 95. And the whole time I'm just thinking, this is such a blessing. Like having that F-250 to tow that thing, you couldn't even feel it. And I had to drive the last leg of the trip coming home. I woke up in Richmond to pouring, sleeting, and snow. So by the time I was on the road in Maryland, it was snow. I have pictures of snow at all the rest stops. So I was driving in conditions that were not strong.
And
I would
you
say,
felt confident, though.
No,
felt-
I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, am I going to start getting blown? And I did, there was a few moments where I felt the push or the pull of the wind, because it was like gusts of wind. And I was like, what if I weren't in this 250? How would that have felt? You know, it was such, I just can't say it any other way than to say like, it was like a blessing to have that much confidence in my tow vehicle.
I think once you overtow, once you really have a truck that sort of dominates the trailer, it's hard to go back. And
I don't know. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't think I'd want to go slower.
And we try not to get cranky around here.
Yeah.
The number of people that want to get the biggest possible trailer for the smallest possible truck. People pop up in our group all the time, and they just, people want to bump up against the tow capacities of their vehicles, and it's just bad news.
Well, because you want your daily driver, you want, you know, your
people
thing.
People don't
want
to get an F-250.
Exactly. I don't want an F-250.
They want, everyone the wants a half ton, even beast. If the RV is really meant for something
but
bigger.
But I have to say, that's just what I thought the whole time. I thought, why, you know what? It was so nice to tow with that thing. Why would I tow with anything else? We have it. We're keeping it.
You've been
honestly,
clear. We're not selling that F-250.
No, that thing is like gold in our driveway. It can tow anything we get.
It's a tow beast. It's thirsty. She's a thirsty truck. What was your MPJ?
Oh, I didn't even look at that. You should go out and see, but I didn't like set the new trip to see.
I bet you were getting 10 max.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I don't know. My tires were overinflated for a little while because I went from cold weather. I think they like going from the cold to the really hot. Then I took my tire pressure and they were like really overinflated. I had to let out air. So I was probably getting better gas mileage for a little while than I should have been. But that was good. So that was my first thought, overtow.
So you loved overtow?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What else do you love?
Okay. I love manual stuff. Oh my gosh. Look, you get this sort of idea like when you're, you know, pushing a button to auto level your camper and you're pushing a button to take the tongue jack off, you know, and you're pushing a button to do this and that. And you get so used to that and you're like, it's good, it's good. And then you go back to the manual and I'm telling you, it takes me like 3 minutes to unhitch that camper. Like, it really does. Like, it is
and
so
it's just nothing's gonna break,
freaking
really.
Easy, and nothing's going to break. I'm, like, sitting there cranking down the stabilizer jacks, and I'm like, God bless the crank.
Can I tell you something right now?
It's so easy.
I never want an auto-leveling system again in my life.
No. Like, it was kind of nice, I guess. And the whole thing was, like, so freaking stressful.
Anytime I would press the auto-leveling
button. You'd, like, hold your breath.
I'm praying. I'm praying to God.
I know. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to be like, oh. Crank it out. Here you go. So I really love the manual. And you know, maybe I'll add like an inverter, but I just, the simplicity of this is overwhelmingly wonderful to me. I love it.
It's like a relief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's so interesting because really that's not the direction RVing is going.
No, right. I know. I am like the anti-trend right now.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, like Airstream didn't overcomplicate the base camp. I don't know if they probably overcomplicate some of their other stuff.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Maybe they don't. I've never owned a $100,000 Airstream.
Neither have I.
Okay, so you have always been a proponent of checklists, and all of these years later, you still think they're important.
Look. We've always told people to use them. I do think that when you're traveling with two people and you do that double check of each other, which Jeremy and I always did, like I would take care of inside. He would take care of outside. I would then go and scope out the outside and do a walk around and he would come inside and push cabinets in. Like we always did that double check of each other. When I was traveling alone, I realized how I got into my head, like so nervous that I forgot. It was like hard to not have someone checking your work. So like it was so funny. I pulled into the campsite at AmeriCamps the first night. And just because it was late and I was on autopilot, I started to unhitch.
Even though
like,
you didn't want to.
I didn't want to, but I just started. But then I was like, oh, stop. And so like I reversed it.
And we're talking manual.
Right,
like
manual. But then I got like a little paranoid, like, wait. Because I didn't go through the whole process. Like, did I mess something up? Like, and I had to go back and I had to look at my checklist. And I will say this is a plug, but I do believe like the checklists in the Togo RV app are incredibly useful. I don't want to say I developed them. Rob, our head of service, with me helping on the editorial side and more of like the wordsmithing side and everything, we worked for months. This was a while ago, a year and a half ago or something together. We worked for months to make sure that every single checklist in there for hitching, unhitching, setting up your campsite, breaking down your campsite was 100% technically accurate. They're also editable. So you can go in and you can look at it. But you can make it your own.
I thought you said edible for a second.
No,
I was like, the tasty checklist. What I hear you saying is that checklists are always important. For solo travel, maybe they're more important.
I think they're more important for solo travel because you do not have that extra pair of eyes to go, you left the steps down.
And you've done that with me. Yeah. Like, hey, you forgot to do
whatever.
This.
Whatever.
Or you're plugged in. Like, Jeremy, you're about to pull away and you're plugged
in. It's so easy to miss a step. I think the easiest step to miss is stabilizer jacks. I just think that's always the thing because it's always the last thing, you know? Like,
I would think that the second you start to drive away, you'd
Yeah, but you've already bent them.
True.
No, you've already bent them. True. So, and people do that, right? They drive away with their stabilizer jacks down and they bent them.
Yeah, that's not as bad as driving away if you're plugged into 30 or 50 amps still.
Okay, right. There's worse things. I said the easiest thing to do, I think, is to pull away. Or maybe your steps down, too. That's an easy thing because it's one of those last things. So whatever. Like, I just think, yes, I was like, oh, you really need a checklist.
But you did get your towing mojo going.
So easy.
When we called you and we weren't chatting long when you were driving, but we were just calling and checking in. Like, you seemed fairly...
I was fine. Yeah. It really was. It wasn't... I was, like, nervous that I was going to be nervous, but I wasn't nervous, and it was fine.
On such a long drive, too.
It was fine, yeah.
I think
It was like skiing. We went skiing a couple weeks ago, and I was like, I haven't been in a long time. I'm scared that it's not going to be like riding a bike. I was like, I'm a beginner. I don't know what I'm doing. Your cousin was like, you look like you've been on those skis all your life. I'm like, yeah, it just came right back to me. It was like, oh, yeah, it just comes right back to you.
By the way, I only fell once, too. But I stayed on.
You did great.
I stayed on the bunny slopes all day.
Slow. I was like racing down. After Wes on the blue.
Oh my God,
oh my
Wesley.
Gosh, give me a heart attack.
95 million miles an hour.
And I'm like, so come back. All right.
Okay. So what other lessons from doing a whole road trip?
The next thing
down
that I thought is I just wanted to, I guess, do this in two ways. Like, I've always said this to people, but I really want to say, like, focusing on trusting your gut and being safe is not being a wimp, and it's not being not brave. And I think that sometimes it's presented as that out there. And I've said this in a million different ways over the years to both women and men out there, right? Listening. This isn't just a woman issue, too. This is also like men sometimes feel like they have to be more manly by being like
bold. I'm so past the whole thing about women towing. Right? There's so many women towing solo right now. Like, just enough already.
But also, I think that men sometimes feel like they have to be like, you know, they can't be careful. If they're careful, it's not manly, right? Like, and the whole thing is just like, it's okay.
Or you're a ninny.
Right. Like, it's okay to respect the process, to say, you know what? Be careful not to tow too long during the day, to get too tired. Be careful not to go too fast. Like, I honestly was going 65 on cruise control in the right lane, and I didn't care.
I was shocked when you told me you were spending the night at two different places on the way to Florida.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I'm going to pin you down on this one. Next time we're going somewhere far away and I say, look, I want to stop night, you've got to, you know, you got to give on that because that's what you do. Look, we'll go to Myrtle Beach. We'll don't need to stop for the night. Okay, Myrtle Beach is doable.
We're going.
Anything too much further than that, I want to stop for the night.
All right. Fair enough. So, yeah, I just wanted to take the time to say that. But then on the flip side of that, it's also like trusting your gut for like what you want to do. This is something that I've said to people for years on our podcast. Don't look at what other people do on Pinterest, in Facebook groups, and think that it has anything to do with what you need to do. Like, if you want to order pizza at the campground, order pizza at the campground. If you want to put a microwave in your RV and microwave soup at night, do that. There's no such thing as authentic, okay, or the right way or the real way. It's so stupid when everybody talks about that. And if I just can do one thing in all the years of doing this podcast, it's to tell people that, like, you do you.
Well, and I love the fact that either on this episode or the last episode, you said, I'm done camp cooking for a while.
You love it. And I love it. That
you
you're
don't
loving
have
it.
To.
And when we go to the campground and you got all your grills out and everything, I am happy that you're doing
it. All my grills out.
Yes. That is an accurate statement.
Two of them. still want to show you the Omnia.
Oh my gosh. I just want everybody to think, what makes me truly enjoy this experience? Not like
RVing.
What do other people
experience? The RV trip is supposed to be the escape from all the societal pressure that we
and
put on ourselves.
I was definitely like watching like whatever show on Hulu at 9 o'clock at night in my camper.
You know
what I'm saying?
And you
like,
go.
Yeah, like I'm not embarrassed by that. Like, oh, I should be stargazing. Like, no, I'm cozy up in my basement watching a show.
Done stargazing too.
Right. Like, but even like if I was like, stargazing is for the birds, it doesn't matter. Like, this was just such a reminder to me to focus on I'm not somebody, yes, we put pictures up or whatever, but I am not living my life for an Instagram shot. You know, I am not.
Oh, you've made that clear.
Terrence, I know. Yes, you are not.
And you've raised the boys that way.
Yeah.
Which I think I respect.
I'm not doing that. If the Instagram shot is...
If I can take it with no one noticing, we're fine. Yay.
But, and I just don't, I want people to be relieved. We have so much input out there from what it should be like, right?
But I think we're all just, we are all stressed.
Yeah, but I think a lot of that is because we care what other people think about what we do. Like, who cares?
I think if you subtracted the pandemic, we're in a stressful cultural moment. You throw that on top of it, everyone is stressed. And I bet a lot of you listening are dealing with stress. The RV trip, the camping trip, when you pull in and you unhitch and you set up camp and you get that feeling where your body relaxes, that's the feeling I want everyone to have.
Right.
This year.
However that happens for you. So yeah, I just wanted to emphasize that again, because I really felt that strongly during this trip. The next lesson is that the Solo Stove and the Blackstone are very trendy items that truly perform.
They live up to, because you were with a lot of people that don't camp a lot.
Right. And so I had brought things down, like not necessarily like I'm going to be cooking for a crowd. It was more like props, like, oh, a solo, like we were, I was like, throw this in, throw that in, like just so we could have everything that you would normally have at a campsite.
And thank God we had all of it.
Of course we do.
In the garage. And,
in spades. Yeah. And doubles and triplets.
Stephanie was like, bring the Solo Stove. I was like, which one?
Which one? Yeah.
And, she's like, can you throw a Blackstone in?
And like, you had a whole thing. Like, which what size should you bring? Blah, blah, blah. I was like, I don't care. Just put one in the truck. But I'm telling you, like the Solo Stove, like that came out at night. And I like quickly lit the fire. And everybody was like, this is amazing. Like everybody was like, I need one of these.
They're those, the Blackstone and the Solo Stove, they're like those products that like people see them and then they buy them.
Yeah. So I just, that was funny to me because it was truly like with people, like no one else there owned a Solo Stove or a Blackstone, right? It's kind of like people that are like close to the RVing culture, but not necessarily.
So they keep
like,
hearing about those.
Right.
Things.
So they're very aware of those products, but not necessarily experiencing them in firsthand experience, and they were sold. So that was funny.
Oh, that's so cute.
And then my last lesson was poor sweet Maggie is just the camping dog of the century. Like this dog has not, I mean, it's been a while since she's been on a camping trip.
She is truly a camping dog.
Well, I always said that I feel bad because she would have been the perfect farm dog. Like, I wish that she had a farm to live on, that we had a farm for her. Because she's just one of those dogs where she does not need to be on a leash. She
Thank
wants
God
to
we
stay
have property.
Right. Well, but she can't, like, it's a suburb. Like, she can't just roam. But we were in the middle of nowhere. This dog was in seventh heaven. She would literally visit everybody at their RVs. Every day she'd go from one RV to the next.
She posted some video or some picture and Maggie was glowing. Like it was just, like, Stephanie, she looks so happy.
She wasn't on a leash for a week straight. She was just and she never goes anywhere. She's right there with you. She has no desire to be anywhere else. She's with everybody, happy as can be, hoping somebody drops food somewhere. And she just was like literally going from one RV to the next. Like, who's in here?
Tap into that this year. All of our people listening. Can we all be more like Maggie?
She was so sad. She went. Oh, it let her out to go to the bathroom and she like runs to the truck.
Well, I'm packing up for a work trip
and she's
in
like,
my RV
ready. And she was standing right by that truck.
She wants to come.
She was like, oh, we're going again. Like she was so happy. And that
she
just kind of like made
outdoors.
Me happy, but it also made me sad. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like the life you love and you don't get it in suburbia.
Well,
she's just happy as could be.
Everybody's
like, oh my gosh,
up.
Her tail does not stop wagging. Like, I'm like, no.
She really loves
except when
nothing
the thunderstorm
more than just being outside.
Through. And then everybody was so upset because she was like in the truck for hours and they were like, is she okay? I'm like, she's fine.
So
like,
I'm debating right now whether to bring Maggie because I'm meeting up with my cousin who has his dog.
I know.
Okay, we're going to come back in a second to wrap up the show and just
Maggie's
talk about
a better solo dog. She's perfectly fine with other dogs. She just likes all the attention in the world on her.
She does.
She doesn't even like Lucky.
I'm leaning towards bringing her. Lucky, I'm not bringing camping anymore because Lucky scratches everything. All right, we're going to come back in a second and wrap up the show. But before we do, a sponsored message from our friends at Go RVing. Go RVing's website, GoRVing.com, is packed with all of the information you need to get started and go RVing. Check out Go RVing's Get Started tab to find information from real RVers about buying an RV, renting an RV, finding a campground, and a comprehensive first-timer's toolkit. The Buying an RV section includes a complete guide to buying a new RV and tips for visiting national parks. The Renting an RV section explores your options for trying before buying. The Finding a Campground section lets you search campgrounds by state. The First-Timer's Toolkit is a robust set of blog posts and how-to videos that will turn you into an expert RVer in no time at all. Go RVing's Get Started tab is packed with the content you need to become a more experienced RVer and have fun doing it. And this is just a small sample of the great content you will find there. To find out more, head on over to GoRVing.com. Welcome back to the show, everybody, and thank you for joining us for the launch of our 42-episode 2022 podcast run. We're going to be hitting you up with new episodes every week between now and October 15th. So what's ahead for us? Back to Myrtle Beach for spring break. I mean, Myrtle Beach never gets old for our family.
The boys requested it. We were booked somewhere else, probably a couple other places. We always do that. There's like five iterations.
You know, a lot of people get annoyed when you say that.
What?
Like when people book multiple places.
No. We weren't booked multiple places at the same time. We kept changing our plans. That's what we do.
I do a lot of wacky stuff with booking.
And few months ago, we were like talking at night before bed. The boys like lying around, and they were like, "We just want to go to Myrtle Beach." They love Myrtle Beach.
There's nothing like for us in the Northeast.
They love it.
There's nothing like pulling into Myrtle in April, and you can swim in the ocean.
Yeah,
and it's warm. And you can lie down on a towel on the beach.
They wanted to go, like Carolina Pines we were at last year. They loved it there.
Well, we're going to stop there on our way to Myrtle. Yep. We're going to stay there a little bit too. Carolina Pines is great. Let me tell you, now you said you had a relatively easy time booking sites to Florida and back. I got one of two sites left at Carolina Pines.
Right, because that's different. That's spring break week. And they're spring break destinations. Places that people would go for the week of spring break with their kids. Yeah. It's going to be hard.
The other thing about Myrtle that just keeps pulling me back is there's so many great campgrounds there that we haven't stayed at yet. Yeah. Right? I mean, there's a lot of options in Myrtle.
Trying something new.
And then this summer, there's a really big New York State trip planned. I booked some state parks, and I'm super excited for this trip because our previous two RVs were too big. We'll hash it all out on the podcast. But I'm super excited for that New York State trip. And then I'm going all over the place for my new Go RVing show, and we're going to be doing all kinds of other fun trips too. So I hope you join us along the way, and we will see you, hopefully, at the campground glowing like Maggie, like the camping dog.
The camping dog. See you at the campground.
A big thank you for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas, and a big thank you to our sponsors, to Neighbor, the Thetford Corporation, CampSpot, Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts, RV Snaphead, and Go RVing. To find out more about the topics discussed in this show, head on over to thervatlas.com. And to join the friendliest group of RVers, head on over to the RV Atlas group on Facebook. If you enjoyed this show, please consider leaving us a review over at iTunes. And we'll see you at the campground.